we've had a chance to get together, talk over quite a few things, and thinking to myself how interesting most of this would be to our listeners. So Jim has agreed to come on, and maybe we'll get him on again, because there are other things coming up each and every day that we don't have time to get to. But having said that, I think first and foremost, I want to look at his particular situation, which is the Tennessee Titan football team. As most of you know, he coaches there now. By the way, most of you remember Jim, too, as the former head football coach of the New Orleans Saints. Did a great job over there, bringing them back, first coach to take them to the playoffs, and you name it. But the job up there in Tennessee has been tough, but rewarding, I think. He's with Mike Vrabel, who's the head coach up there. When Jim was coaching at Pittsburgh, they drafted Vrabel out of college. But they've done a good job. They're right in contention. And I want to get to any number of questions. But first, we got to get to one that I think was a real coup for Tennessee. Getting Jones, the receiver from Atlanta, Julio Jones, I think is going to be a tremendous upgrade with their overall football team. Everything he helps them offensively goes without saying, and I'm going to let Jim expand on this, but he also helps them defensively because he helps that offense stay on the field a little longer and score points. So, and also I want him to, at the same time, tell you about something that he just informed me about that I was unaware of, and that is the brilliant pass-catching tight end that they'll unfold this year as well. So with that, Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you. I got more questions about defense and other things later.
Yeah, Coach, we're excited that we got Julio, and Todd Downing's the new offensive coordinator, and you know, Todd's a real close friend of mine, and we worked together in St. Louis. He actually worked on defense before he moved to offense. He's got a brilliant mind, and he's excited about the opportunity to work with Julio and A.J. Brown and our running back, you know, Derek, you know, the offensive line. You know, and the thing that Julio, everybody got excited about the first day is his will to practice. I mean, he was fired up about going out to practice. He wanted to run around. You know, everybody was trying to, you know, temper it and, you know, wait to see what he had. But he wanted to go out there and he wanted to run full speed and do things. And, you know, that was exciting because that's kind of how we are. That's what we are. You know, we're going to play hard, both sides of the ball. We're going to play hard and, you know, we're trying to play smart, do all those type of things. So he kind of fits the mode. No one knew it. He just kind of stepped in and did it. And, you know, everybody was fired up about it. But big guy, Coach, I'm standing beside him, Derek, and A.J. Brown. And, you know, I'm about the same height, but there one was 265, one was about 230, and one's about 220. So, I mean, they're good-looking guys, so. You know, it's good to be surrounded with guys that look that way.
Well, my Lord, try to tackle any one of the three, especially that that back. You know, what a terrible, terrible decision you got to make, or you got to make when you're playing Tennessee with the size and speed and toughness.
The thing you like about them, Coach, is besides being great football players, they like to work, they like practicing, and they really, really are truly good people. I mean, they're awesome to be around. They're not there's nothing negative you can say about them. So it's fun because they want to go out and they do well. They want to do well and they want to practice and they want to do all those type of things. So. You know, when you get those type of guys, that kind of filters down through your team. And when you're three of your best players are like that, the team kind of follows them.
Yeah, we've said that before. I think your team takes on any team takes somewhat the personality of the coach or coaching staff and so on. You got between you and Vrabel, I know there's some real not only knowledge, football knowledge, X and O and all of that, but the toughness involved with how you go about playing the game of football certainly shows up with that football team. And I think the same thing I said yesterday, Friday, I think on the show, the same thing with Jack Del Rio and Rivera at Washington. I think that that defense takes on their personality as well. But the way I see your football team, Jim, I really see a lot has been added to that football team with Jones coming on. How are you going to play them defensively? How are you going to play Tennessee when you've got two receivers in the ball game like that, one on each side if they even them up, or if they put them in the slot, two to one side, or they use some motion to help pre-snap look the coverages. It's really going to be a lot of help. You got to keep in mind you got those two receivers out there. Now you got a tight end that I want you to elaborate on how good of a pass catcher in the passing game he is. I think that's going to be another major plus. And now you got the best back in the league, the most dominant back, who every defense has got to spend most of their time working on how we're going to stop that guy. If he just runs the ball all day and keeps us on the field, we're never going to make it. We will not have a chance to win the ball game. So you got to come up with a way to stop him. And now, how are you going to do that? That's made tougher by the fact that you have those two receivers, Brown and Jones, and now the tight end who can catch the football. It's a major, major problem for a defensive football team. Plus the fact that you're going to make your defense better because you're going to keep the ball longer, I predict, and put more points on the board and stay on the field longer, rest your defense. So at any rate, talk a little bit about the pass-catching tight end. I think that's it.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Furster was with us last year, and we had Jonnu Smith, who was a heck of a football player also. But Anthony's a really, really good football player. You know, he's probably going to be the starter. I think he's 25 or 26 years old. He came out of Harvard. He was a free agent. Really great kid. But he's a guy that he does a nice job running routes, catching the ball, doing those type of things. He's a, you know, good blocker. You know, I was kind of fired up about him because, you know, you're around him, and I didn't know that much about him last year, but the more you're around him, you know, you start watching these guys, and you're like, wow, that guy can catch, he can do it, all these type of things. And then, you know, we got a couple other tight ends, you know, that have kind of been around, but I think they're all pretty good players, but Anthony kind of stands out just in the things he can do. He's really athletic and got great hands, and he kind of fits the mold with the other guys, with Julio and AJ and those guys. He got a unique skill set.
Yeah, I think that presents a heck of a problem. Now, let's jump over to your side of the ball. On defense, the word I
have. Well, let me go. Some of the other guys, some of our draft picks. We drafted a kid from Louisville who I think looks good. You know, we got a couple other young guys, a couple of receivers I thought did a nice job. So, yeah, you know, I'm fired up. You know, about our offense, the way we approach things as a team. You know, Mike's very demanding. You know, he only wants certain guys on the team, that the way they're going to practice and play hard, and all these guys are buying in. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of.
Yeah, and I know you're looking forward to that because I know you want them to stay on the field as long as they can. But let's jump over to the defensive side. Now, word I got, I told you this, word I got was that the corner that you drafted, and there was some concern about drafting him number one. Some people were concerned because he had had an injury. Word I got is that the kid is looking great, outstanding, and could even be a lockdown corner possibly. But he's savvy and football aware and could play anything. He's not limited to one type of coverage. He can play pretty much anything you wanna play. So if you talk about that and then move to your other linebackers and up front.
You know, he hasn't practiced yet, but he's going to be out there hopefully sooner than later. But if you build him, you build him the way he looks. He's tall, rangy. I mean, he's got long arms. I mean, he's a good looking kid. You know, on the hoof, I think he's going to be a heck of a player. You know, but you don't know. We'll see what happens. But I like him. We drafted Elijah Molden, who I coached his father with the Saints. He was our corner with the Saints. That tells you how old I am, Coach. When you're coaching the kids now, that you coach their dad. But great kid, really smart, loves football. I think he's going to help us. You know, we'll be so much better on that side of the ball. It's just from the standpoint, I think guys are fired up. I thought we had a great off season on our side of the ball, and guys are into it. And I was fired up about the linebackers. You know, because last year I didn't get a chance to coach them in the off season because we weren't around because of the virus. And you know, you go to training camp and you start with them, but you don't really know much about them. You know, because you've never been around them. But you know, we got so much, at least from my standpoint, we're so farther ahead. I just think that's going to help us also.
Right. Well, and up front, you seem to think that you're pretty solid. You, I'm sure, like everybody else, you'd like another pass rusher to work in and out of there. But you think you're pretty solid up front, and certainly overall, you feel like you've improved. And with the off season, like you said, that gives you a chance, especially from a coaching standpoint. It gives you a better chance to get your football team developed the way you want it than would like last year. No doubt about it.
Especially from my standpoint, Coach, you know, I'm in Zoom meetings with them. I don't have an opportunity to go on the field and actually coach them, you know, so this was probably as enjoyable offseason as I had because I was out there running around with them. You know, we were doing drills, we were doing football related stuff, not just talking about it, you know, so I think they have a greater understanding of the defense. I thought we looked good in the off season, just from the standpoint, everybody knowledge, people being around one another, you know, the coaches and the players. So I think that'll help us in the long run.
As you know, there's a lot of interest now, obviously in the teams around here and with your division. In that division, I think you're the Colts. And I predicted that the Colts will be a dark horse in the whole chase this next year. And certainly Tennessee will be a factor. But then you've got Houston, who has had some real problems. I think they pretty much taken themselves out, even though you can't be too sure about any team. But that Jacksonville team has gotten better. And I know you had a couple of close games with them last year, so you can't take anything for granted, especially with the improvement they've made in personnel. So how do you guys look at your division right now? And I know coaches tend to really put a good look on their division teams in the off season.
You know, Coach, I kind of think that, I mean, every year you always compete with, trying to upgrade against the teams you're going to play twice a year, you know, like Jacksonville and Indy. And Indy's got a good football team. You know, Frank's a good coach. They've done a good job on the defensive side, but they got some adjustments to make. They got some new coaches, new quarterback. You don't know how that's going to work out. But, it's always a battle. The NFL is not like college when Alabama plays Vanderbilt or, you get one of these teams, Clemson playing South Florida or something like that. These games are hard every week, and we had two tough ones last year in Jacksonville. And obviously, they got a great quarterback, you know, because of where they were picking. They got a heck of a running back. I mean, there's a reason why Urban Meyer took the job. You know, you weren't taking it unless you had a bunch of draft picks, a lot of money to spend on free agents. So it's going to be a battle. But I thought we did well last year in our division. I expect us to do well this year. That's always something to say. But there's every time you look at something, you say, well, they got this issue, they got that issue, we got this issue, they got it, you know, and then you go and play, and, you know, usually the team that doesn't turn the ball over, usually the team that doesn't make the least mistakes wins the game. So that's kind of where we kind of worry about ourselves and trying to do those type of things. And if we can do those things, we'll fare well in our division.
Well, I would certainly agree with you. I think you guys are the upper echelon of teams in the National Football League. You're in competition for the playoffs, and therefore, anytime you can get in there, you get to the dance, there's always a chance you can get to the big one, the Super Bowl. Listen, let me ask you this. Of which team in your division, other than yourselves in Jacksonville, and most teams help themselves, which team do you think helped themselves the most in the off season in your division?
Coach, that's a good question. You know, I'm not really sure how to answer it because you'll have to see how Trevor plays down in Jacksonville or Wentz up in Indy. You know, I think there's a lot that goes into it. You know, what you're doing. So you can go out and sign, 10, 15 players, but are these 10, 15 players going to help you? Or are they going to make an impact? Or you can, like Tampa Bay last year, signed a defensive end who wasn't like a big name, known guy, and he ends up getting 10, 12 sacks for them. So I think that'll play out as the season goes on. But I do think the whole division fared well in the draft, especially, and I do think they fared well in free agency. So I do think it's one of the better divisions in pro football. You know, some teams will say, well, I got this guy, I got this team, I got this team. And all that is true, but as I said, it's a little bit different than, you know, Alabama playing some unknown team, or you get the same caliber football every week when you play in the NFL. So,
yeah, I understand that, and the reason I ask is it's pretty much obvious to me which teams, at least ones I feel have helped themselves. And we had last Friday, we had quite a bit of talk about the Eastern division of the NFC, and I think they really helped themselves there. And your division, you know, is tough because you got the Titans, you got Tennessee, and you've also got the Colts, and now you got a startup team that could be tough on anybody to play in Jacksonville with some real good talent down there. So you got what could be the makings of a very explosive division in the National Football League that many would not have considered that way at the end of last season. So it's really odd. But I want to take one more and try to do this as quickly as we can. I have been very adamant about the fact and been very vocal about the fact that I think we are just finding ways to kill college football, college basketball. The Supreme Court decision, 9-0, which is terrible, to allow the compensation. But I think it's misread. It's miscommunicated. And it has opened Pandora's box for lawyers and agents now to get involved in college football. And don't think they're not, because they're coming. You can't tell a kid that it's good enough that you get a laptop or you get a projector or you get something, the books, and pens and pencils and paper extra, and that's educational compensation toward education. I said, but old homie, I don't care about that college education. I just want to play football or play basketball. They want money. We want money, 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 money. The game was not invented or played to make players money. That's not what it was ever. But have you guys had any talk about what maybe the outcome of this with the college football in particular?
You know what, Coach? We have not discussed that at all as a staff or even individually. I mean, you know, because you really have no say in all this stuff. Me personally, I'm not a fan of it, especially if I was coaching college football. If I was a coach, I mean, it's hard to overcome some of these people that go out. And, I mean, there's different ways, you know, how people work, different ways to go to get advertising or to put your name on a product. And I'm just not a fan. I think that players get paid to go to school, and I think that's your income. I do understand, you know, the money is so great now, and the conferences are getting money, and the coaches are getting it, and the players think they deserve it. But I do think there is there's a limit to it, just because you're getting paid to go to school. You're going to school for a reason. You're going to school for school to get an education, and I just. I don't know why they want to change after all these years. So I'm not a fan of it personally, but that's just me, you know, and I know everybody's different, but there's arguments for it and against it. I'm just not a fan of it myself.
Yeah, you know, you look at what the changes now, it's dramatic. It's huge. The NIL legislation. And they better get this even par on state to state, because if they have one state or two states that allow more intervention than other states, where do you think the players are going to go? They're going to go to that state.
No doubt.
But at any rate, NIL, then you got the transfer portal, things I've never thought I would see in college athletics.
I'm not a fan of that either, where you can just go from place to place and team to team, and you go in there and you don't even have to notify coaches. You can just leave. I'm not a fan of that. I don't understand it either. I don't understand why they do that. But, you start recruiting guys that are on other people's teams. I just don't understand it. I don't like you, Coach. That's just my part.
They're getting closer and closer to gambling and gaming. And now with this playoff, it's totally a money grab, talking about going to 12 teams. But anyway, I just think I hate to see all this coming down on college athletics. It was never meant for this. It really wasn't. At any rate, Jim, listen, I'm going
to hopefully it doesn't get to that point, and somehow they come and get some mediation and come up with some way to take care of if the players, if they do have issues with the money, because I know, you know, there's all types of guys playing football, rich, poor, all this other stuff, and some people need more than others. I do understand that, but it is there's a reason you go to college. To me, it's to go get an education, play your sports, do the things you want to do, and then get on, and whether you're going to do it, you're going to try to play pro football or move on with your life.